In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the readings today are a curious lot. The second reading from James, if you were here last week, you probably got the feeling when you were reading it, that's what I was preaching on last week, right? Sort of that sense of how imperative it is that as gospel believers that we don't discriminate against other people no matter what. And James reiterates that. What I'd like to concentrate on, look at today mainly, is really the first reading in the gospel. And both of them are a little bit odd in their own way. The first reading is from Isaiah 35. And it's odd for this reason. If you study Scripture, you know that Isaiah is divided in, typically we talk about three sections. First Isaiah, second Isaiah, and third Isaiah. That's logical, right? And second Isaiah begins with 41. And this is chapter 35. But the content of this particular chapter belongs not so much in Isaiah 1, but in Isaiah 2. It should be placed after chapter 40, and so scripture scholars believe that it actually, when the scriptures were being put together, some scribe probably just put it in the wrong place, because the message of this reading is much more clearly the message of 2nd Isaiah. In 1st Isaiah, the Israelites were still in Israel, and Isaiah was warning them of their impending future if they didn't change their ways. In 2nd Isaiah, they're out in the hinterlands in Egypt and in Babylonia, spread all over the place. And Isaiah is telling them about the hope that they should have in a God who is going to save them if they get their act together, which is exactly what this reading is about. So in Isaiah 35, it talks about how wonderful it is for those who believe in God. They should have no fear. They should trust in the power of God. It says their eyes, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like deer, the speechless will sing for joy, the waters will break forth in the wilderness. And it's full of all this hope, which is not really typically the theme of 1st Isaiah. That being said, that's one of the things that makes it a little bit different, this reading. But the other thing that's very important about this reading is one word. There's a word in, I guess it would be about verse 6 or 5. And it's the word that's translated in our translation. It's called speechless. That the tongue of the speechless will ring for joy. The Greek word is mogilalon or mogilalos, and it's used once in the whole Hebrew scriptures. And this is the only place where it's used, mogilalon in Greek. And it doesn't just mean speechless, it means also what translated in St. Mark, it's an impediment. And so the impediment of being without a Messiah is what Isaiah is getting at. The impediment of being without belief. The impediment of being not connected to God is what happens and you're freed from in this new beginning that you will have as Isaiah preaches to these people who are out in the diaspora. That becomes important because in the gospel we see two miracles in Mark. The first one, again, what makes this reading a little bit difficult is the first one. Well, first it's Mark's geography. He must not have been a geographer very much. He's a theologian, but if he's talking about Jesus going to Tyre, and so Tyre is way up north. It's on the Mediterranean Sea. And then he says, Jesus then leaves Tyre on his way to the Sea of Galilee to go to Sidon. Well, Sidon is the wrong direction. Sidon is north even more, much more on the sea, into the region of the Decapolis of 10 cities. And the Sea of Galilee is down here, southeast, right? So, first of all, Mark's not much of a geographer, so that's a little bit of an issue, which I don't worry about. That wasn't his point. But we have this miracle, and we have this lady who comes to Jesus, and Jesus is tired. Jesus has become a rock star, right? And people want what he can give, and what he can give, of course, in their experience, is all these cures. So he's curing people. He spent time in the south, and he headed north to Tyre and Sidon, and on his way to the Sea of Galilee, by the wrong direction, and he's healing people. But he goes to these weird regions because he wants to get away, right? He wants some downtime. He wants some retreat. But it isn't working for him because he's known so well. And so this lady comes and she says her daughter is suffering with a demon, which oftentimes, of course, we know in Scripture means that she has mental illness and is struggling with things like we talked about and, you know, in our training here, hallucinations and delusions, reality, lack of reality contact. And so Jesus is like, I want to get away. So you could tell he's upset because he's nasty to this lady, right? He's downright mean. He says to her, well, let me quote it or I'll mess it up, and I really don't want to misquote Jesus. But essentially he says, let the children be fed first. The children are the children of Israel, right? Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And the dogs are, you know, he's talking about the low-life Samaritans, right? So he's kind of being nasty to her. And her answer is what? It's some of the stuff we learned to do in mental health first aid. Not to be confrontive, but she says to him, you know, sir, and by the way, sir in the Greek is the word kyrios, which means Lord, another clue, kyrios. Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. So this great act of faith that all we need is a crumb of what you have to offer. All I need is a crumb. And he says to her, your response has saved you. You know, and so it was a kind of a little test. She passed with flying colors, and he says to her, your response has saved you. Go on home. Your daughter is cured, right? What happened to the lady? Was she cured? No, she wasn't cured. She didn't have a malady. But she was healed, right? And that's what we're talking about in this Isaiah reading when we talk about, you know, what's going to happen to the people. They're going to be healed of the impediments that they have to knowing the Father. Because that's what the Messiah does, right? And so what word do you think that Mark uses, which appears one time in all of the Christian scriptures, to express the next healing, where the guy is healed of his muteness and of his deafness? Mogalilon, right? The same Greek word that appears in Isaiah 35 appears twice in all of our scriptures. And so Mark, though not very much of a geographer, is an incredible theologian because he uses this very rare Greek word to connect to that Old Testament scripture to give them a sense of what's happening here. It's not about the cures, though those are wonderful. And that's what people were coming after, and that's what people could see with their eyes, you know, and talk about with their mouths. It's about the healing that happens when we know God through Jesus. It's about the being freed from the mogalilon, from the depths of being of impediment. The impediments, all of the impediments, all of them are gone through the action of Jesus in the world. And so the readings today, of course, they speak to what James is talking about in the second reading, that the impediments that we always get all wound up in, how people look and smell and how rich they are and what color they might be and all the kinds of things that divide us. But much more deeply than that, the impediment of not being able to fully and completely know and relate to your God is taken away in this freedom that comes, not through the cures, but through the healing. And that healing for us takes place in so many ways. Through forgiveness, through mercy, through the union that we share, through the communion that we share at this table. That healing takes place through cures. It takes place in relationship. All of our healing takes place in relationship. It takes place in most profoundly what Mark is saying, that Mogalilon is taken care of in our relationship with the living God. And Jesus represents and is, in that word, you know, connects to the Old Testament and becomes enfleshed in the New Testament in Mark, in the use of that word to be the one who frees us from every impediment. That's why we're here. I'm saying it at the 8 o'clock. We're not just here because Ascension has an 8 o'clock service, or because, in our case, a 10, or because we're friends to each other, or because we've been coming here for years and years and years and, you know, we're too old to change churches, or because we're just looking for a new church. We're not here because of us. We're here because, hopefully, you know, we all have a relationship with God through Jesus. And we want to gather with other people in faith to share that healing mystery. That ongoing healing that happens in forgiveness, in mercy, in unity with each other and with all the world around this table. And we celebrate that in a way that we were taught to do by Jesus himself, by gathering around the word, by gathering around bread and wine, and by communing together. Because all healing happens in the context of community. Anything that tears at that community that James talks about and names a bunch of, you know. Anything that tears at that community deprives us of the healing that can be happening. And so we gather to celebrate on a Sunday morning what we already have. And what we already have isn't about what? It's not about things. It's not about being rich or poor or white or black or gay or straight. It's about being created in the image and likeness of God and being forgiven and healed by the ongoing action of a God who desires through Jesus to free us from our Mogalilon, from whatever impediment we have to that faith. So we continue this morning in a spirit of celebration of who we are, in a spirit of sharing the faith that we already have in baptism, and in the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood with each other and with all the world out there, desiring to proclaim by how we act and what we believe that we are freed, that we experience true freedom in our relationship with Jesus that is shared as we gather this morning. Amen.